Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you what, it has been a crazy 24 hours. You know, it's funny down here in the South because you'll go through and, I mean, it'll be 65, 70, 80 degrees, and all of a sudden the wind will shift directions and you'll start to feel that cold front coming in, mixes with that air off the Gulf of Mexico, and the next thing you know, you have rain for 24 hours. But today we have got no clouds in the sky. It's a little brisk. It's chilly. Starting to feel like Christmas. And it's exciting. I mean, anytime you can live in a country as free as America, even though we're the most dysfunctional family when you look at everything out there, it's still the greatest place on earth to live. And that's what excites me. Today we're in Seth's book, Are You Indispensable? And I tell you, if you've not had a chance to meet Seth Godin, I challenge you to find a place, go meet him. You know, being a member of Catalyst, I've got to see him and interact with him twice. Isn't that he'd know me from Adam? He doesn't. I just get to hang out at the green room, listen to him talk. And I tell you what, you talk about a man of wisdom, somebody that's the same on the stage as he is off the stage, it's Seth Godin. And I don't think I'd probably have made it near as far on the internet as I have if I had not taken time to study what he has done to succeed. And it's interesting because most of you know that I believe in the law of connection. I believe that that's a God-given law. You can take it all the way back from Genesis to Revelation. You see that when there's a connection with other people, that all kinds of things can happen. The world can change. And today we're looking at that, the culture of connection. Now, we've only got a couple days left in Seth's book, and I'll figure out a new one that we'll study on this through the Christmas season. But listen to this. Seth says, the linchpin can't succeed in isolation. He says, if you can't sell your ideas will go nowhere. And if you lie about your ideas, we will know it and we'll reject them. The internet amplifies both of these traits. The new media rewards the ideas that resonate. It helps them spread. If your work pursues, you prosper. Or persuades, rather, you prosper. And the new media punishes those who seek to mislead. We have ever more refined truth-telling cues, and if you don't believe in what you're doing, we'll know, and you will fail. Honest signals are the only signals that travel. Now, think about this for a minute, because in 1995, when the internet started to explode, when all of a sudden the World Wide Web and the internet collided, and most of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but you can study it and you'll see. All of a sudden, every Tom, Dick, and Harry came out of the woodwork. They could hide behind the computer screen. We started seeing pages come up. We started seeing gurus happen. I know by the year 2000, I was with a company that literally we were the king of what we know today as spam. We could send out more emails faster than anybody else could, and our clients would get up to a 50% click-through rate. They were getting a 25% conversion rate. But today, it's 2010. The days of the hiding, the lying, the guru-ness that is not the truth will get found out. And that's what Seth is talking about here. He's talking about if you're going to connect with people online or offline, you've got to be authentic, you've got to be genuine, you've got to be transparent. It was funny last night over on one of my blogs, MLM Help Desk, I had a guy that wanted to question some of the stuff that I had said. And I laughed a little bit as I looked at this because he hides behind a fictitious name. And I thought, you know, all you have to do is be transparent. See, two things happen to a linchpin when they're transparent. One, they get a lot of raving fans. That's just going to happen. You've got to be humble. You've got to make sure you don't believe your own press. If you do, you'll end up like everybody else. The second thing that happens is you'll find people out there that want to criticize you constantly. They want to try to attack personally because they don't have the anatomy that it takes, the gumption that it takes, the guts to make a change. And that's what Seth is talking about. Every time Seth writes a book, somebody criticizes it. But yet he has helped to create some very extra phenomenal people on the internet who have taken his advice and won. He says there's five elements. Now, this is important if you're going to look at the law of connection. And this is online or offline. Every website that's ever been created, every company that's created, has a personality, and usually it's an extension of the personality of the person that either creates the website or builds the company. Listen to what he says. Lexical analysts involve collecting all the words a culture has to describe something and grouping them into a fundamental pillar. In the case of personality, most psychologists agree that there are five traits that are essential in how people look at us: openness, consciousness, extravision, agreeability, and emotional stability. Now here's the kicker. Linchpins have all five of those traits. See, if you're going to be a linchpin, you've got to give up some of the past. You've got to start looking at what does it take. How can I move forward? How can I transform something? You've got to be able to look and say, what's it going to look like 100 years from now? I was on the phone yesterday with Richard Brook, the owner of OxyFresh, the founder of 2110. And I asked him, I said, Richard, you've owned this company for 26 years. You've taken this company and created some of the greatest products in the dental and the pet industry. Now you're launching this brand new company. You're kicking this thing into high gear. I said, what would you do different now that you've had 26 years experience in this new launch? And this was great. Here's what he said. He said, I wouldn't do anything different. I had a 100-year plan with OxyFresh. I have a 100-year plan basically with 2110. Richard is a linchpin. Richard understands it isn't about today and gone tomorrow. It's about where am I going to be down the road. I remember early on, in my marriage, I was an idiot, and it was funny because my wife is the brains of this partnership, and she stuck out my first 5 years where I was just, I don't know, it was nuts. But one day as we were sitting down, as we were really starting to plan out our future, as I realized that this is the woman I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, we didn't look at what was going to happen today or tomorrow or next week. We created a journal. We put pictures in it. We wrote in it. We've envisioned what our life would look like 25, 50, 100 years, even into eternity. Linchpins go out and build relationships. They connect with people not based on short-term gain, but on long-term change. See, that's the key here. It doesn't matter if you're building a relationship, if you're living in a relationship, whatever the case is, if you're building a business. If you're not connecting with somebody else, and let me make this real clear. If you're not connecting with them unconditionally. In other words, you're not looking at it, what's in it for me. You're looking at it, what's in it for we. Is this a win-win relationship? If you're not doing that, it won't work. Listen to this here. This is what Seth writes, and I like this. Do you know someone who is more open to new ideas, more agreeable than you, more stable or extroverted, more conscious? If so, then you had better get moving. It's easy to fall into the trap of focusing on using spreadsheets or time clocks to measure your progress. But in fact, it's the investment you make in the interaction, in your interactions that pay off. I had somebody the other day say, well, boy, Troy, you were at the right place in the right time for this new position you got. And it's like, no. I just put the time and energy into building relationships without looking for monetary gain. And we could do a whole training on that. Because a lot of times people don't understand that for centuries, it was all about relationships. It wasn't about the monetary gain. It was about building the connection. See, if you build the connections in business or just in your personal life, it pays off in the long run more than you can ever imagine. See, it's about helping other people. And Seth writes about this, it's just since we entered into this industrial age where everything has to have a dollar sign attached to it. See, if you're in direct sales, this is so important. Direct sales was not created based on just a monetary gain. That was an aftermath. That was a byproduct. Direct selling was created to build the relationships needed in order to make the transaction, not the other way around. Too many times I see it on the internet and I see it offline. People, the first thing they do, they say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm with such and such a company." That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's funny when people talk to me because we'll walk away from a meeting and they still won't know what I do. Because somebody will say something and they'll introduce me and then I'll turn around and say, "Man, I did some research on you and it's amazing what I've learned about you. Can you share this with me?" See, one of the things psychology teaches us is that people would rather talk about themselves than listen to you talk about yourself. And if you will take the time to listen and build the connection and listen to what other people have to say, if you'll take the time to get to know the history of an individual or a company before you go in and try to make the sale, the sky will be the limit. As a leader in the software industry, we don't go in and try to sell our software to people or to companies prior to building a relationship. We want to build the relationship. We want to know what they do. You know, we got 10 years of history in the faith-based community where we have helped create social communities for churches and their websites and online. We create a presence for them on TV and radio. You don't just do that overnight. You got to learn about the culture of that individual church or that nonprofit. The same thing rings true in direct selling, folks. See, if you want to change yourself, then you've got to learn what it takes to nurture the relationships. Listen to this. Only a human being can nurture relationships. It has to be done with flair and transparency, and it can't be done from a script. The memories and connections and experiences of the person in the center of this culture are difficult to scale and hard to replace, which makes this person indispensable. Not anyone who has that job. Only the person who has the job and acts like a linchpin. You know, one of the things that I love is when I go out and I meet people. And over the last year or so, Kevin Thompson, the MLM attorney, has become my personal attorney. And I was on the phone last night with him on a subject that we're going to be reporting on Friday. And what he said was, he said, "Troy, I personally believe that the company got the best person as a liaison between the field and the home office." He goes, "You understand people and you understand that there's a fine balance between what the field needs and desires and what the company can do and still make a profit." And he goes, "I'm going to be excited about watching what you're doing. I'm just proud of you." Now, the underlying takeaway from that for me was fairness. See, Kevin understands that I want to be fair with people. We've made a connection to where he knows whenever I report on something, whenever I have a concern, that it's out of the fairness of both parties. It isn't about being one-sided. He understands that. The question you've got to ask yourself is, does people understand when you open your mouth and you start to make a connection, do they understand that you want fairness? You're not looking for something that's one-sided. See, that's what we've got to look at here. It's not about everything we read or see on the internet. It's about what's inside of us. Every great leader will talk to you about what's inside, because everybody knows that what's inside is going to eventually come out. That's why Seth says, if we see that you're lying, we won't want to be a part of it. See, that's just crazy when you think about it. But it's the truth. There's a story that Seth tells in this book, and I think it's good. He says, the secret of Frank at Comcast Cable. He's a real person. That's the secret. Frank Elson has been featured on the front of the New York Times, on television, and online about a million times. Frank is the online face of Comcast Cable, the occasionally loved, frequently hated cable company. Frank figured out that angry customers were often using Twitter to vent their rage about Comcast and their service or their lack thereof. One day, Frank tweeted back. He showed up, not because it was in the manual or because someone told him to, but because he wanted to help. It was a gift, not his job. Frank was honestly interested in connecting, and his generosity came through. A few years ago, I had a position in a company, lowest man on the totem pole. When I left that company, I was number two on the totem pole. And it wasn't because of me as an individual, but it was the same gift that Frank has. Something Art Williams taught me years and years ago was to listen to people. So I started out on the customer service side of things. I'd listen to the people. Instead of saying, no, we can't do that, no, you're wrong, no, just stop, which was the mantra at the time, I'd take the time to try to find a win-win situation. Sadly, it doesn't work that way all the time. But in most cases, it did. And as soon as the field started to realize there was somebody that actually cared, somebody that wanted to see the company grow, somebody that treated them more than just an ID number, somebody that wanted to know their business, all of a sudden, the company really started to take off. All of a sudden, that started to show up with other teams within the company. And we started to see just critical mass start to hit. See, being a linchpin is contagious. And when you take the time to put your butt on the line, it's amazing what can happen. It's amazing how your business will flourish. It's amazing how your relationships will flourish, because all of a sudden you're creating a culture of connection. You're taking the time to make the change that's needed. See, too many times we get caught up in the day-to-day drama in our lives. We get caught up in the crap. We wonder what's going on. We wonder how many other people are out to screw us because we've been screwed so many times. We start to hate even going into work because we know basically we just got to try to cover our butt. We got to try to make sure nobody else gets our job. Deep inside, we'll sit down and we'll watch movies and we'll think, man, I'd love to be that person. It's amazing to me. One of my shows on TV that I love, and it's not recommended for the majority of people. Most people would hate it. My mom would just smack my butt and wash out my mouth for just watching it. But it's called Sons of Anarchy. And it's about a motorcycle club, an outlaw motorcycle club. It's based on the story Shakespeare of Hamlet. And the reason that I like it is I'll pull some lines out of it every now and then. But when it comes to a culture of connection, a culture of loyalty, a culture of what's best for the family, it's an amazing show. In some ways, it reminds me of some of my relatives. But see, a lot of people watch that show and they get caught up in, boy, I wish I could be that tough. Boy, I wish I could live that life. In the bail days, I was around enough bikers to know that it's not the glamour and glitz of being an outlaw biker that the TV show makes it out to be. But from an entertainment standpoint, there's some pretty realistic stuff there. Also, from a realistic standpoint, you start to understand life can really suck sometimes, and it's not going to turn out the way you want it to. But if you'll continue to journal and write down what it is you want, and you continue to build a connection with people, you're going to win. See, that's the kicker right there. If you just stay in the game long enough, you will win. If you just show up long enough, you will win. And I know some people may say, well, I don't believe that, and that's fine. But most people quit. They give up. And you can't give up on yourself. You can't give up on other people. Other people are going to disappoint you like crazy. You're going to set such high expectations for other people. And then they're going to fall flat on their face. And guess what? Somebody set an expectation for you, and you fell right on your face. I'll never forget one of the most heart-rending statements my wife ever made to me. And it was during that first five-year period. She looked at me one day, and she said, you know, I had you on a pedestal. You were the only man in my life that had never hurt me. All you ever did was care for me. I was your princess. And now you've broken my heart. Now, two things happened from that. One, it shocked me back into reality. Two, it made her realize she shouldn't have anybody but God at the top because he won't hurt her. But you know, those were heartbreaking words. I realized that I had not, it wasn't that I hadn't built connection with my wife at the time. It was a matter of I was really running on some thin ice with that connection, and it was almost gone. How many people in your business life have you done that with? You started off strong. You had high expectations, but when they fell flat, you just blew them off. I'm not saying be a patsy. I'm not saying be a pacifist. I'm saying look at people for who and what they are and then drive them to excellence. And when you build a law of connection, when you build this culture of connectiveness that Seth is talking about, all of a sudden, the sky's the limit. He writes something in here that I think is profound. It says, honest signals in everyday life. He says, Sandy Pentland is a researcher and professor at MIT. His latest work involves the way humans figure out what is really happening around them. His new book, Honest Signals, is named after his term for information, this is great, that flows back and forth between people. Listen to the research that he puts in this book today. Research has shown that we can easily distinguish hundreds or even thousands of micro gestures. We know that people all over the world smile in similar ways that have nothing to do with culture or anything to do with a neural programming. Talking is more than words. Communicating is more than a speech. It may represent what the sender meant, but again, it might not. Dialogues, the word on the page, the words that we hear by themselves have almost nothing to do with what we believe, how we feel, or how we respond. We can hear an announcement repeatedly and do nothing. The words are insignificant. Sounds like somebody that's listening to an airline stewardess talk on a plane. On the other hand, we can watch a movie with no sound and understand precisely what's happening. Oh, this one's good. We can read between the lines and understand exactly what our boss or when our boss is lying to us and when someone is disrespecting us, regardless of the words being used. It's amazing. Listen to this one. He says, your wife opens her anniversary present, and of course you know how she feels long before she says the words. Her body language, her breathing patterns, and the way she looks at you communicates everything. Here's the key takeaway, folks. Listen, write it down if you want to. Dialogue is expensive. It takes an enormous amount of processing power to absorb all the signals, compose a response, and broadcast it back. Because interactions so overwhelm our processing ability, it's almost impossible to fake your intent. Sure, you can probably fake the words, but the rest of you will give yourself away. See, it's the lizard brain. All of a sudden, we're trying to cover it. We don't want to get hurt. So we say one thing, but you know what? Our body reacts in a different way. The fastest part of your brain is busy receiving and sending micro signals that may completely belay the words we're using. When you're stressed out, off your gourd, we can tell it. When you're lying, we can tell. When you're in pain, we can tell. The signals are honest because we're not good at lying. That's the huge implication of a linchpin. Now, let me explain something, too. That's not true 100% of the time, and we all know that. There are con men out there that are good at what they do. They go through their life learning how to lie to people. Nothing's 100% except God. So here's what you've got to look at. Do you want to be a positive linchpin? Do you want to be somebody that makes a difference in somebody's life? Maybe you're on the phone and you say, Troy, I learned to fake it till I make it. Okay, you're going to always be faking it and you're never going to make it. One of the things Richard and I talked about yesterday, he said, Troy, you know, the definition of a full-time network marketer is the fact that they've got a rotten credit score and they're on the verge of bankruptcy. And he's right. See, most people in direct selling live above their means. They spend every doggone thing they've got. And then something happens and it goes south and they're trying to scramble and find a way to keep their lifestyle going. I've got a good guy. He was a mentor of mine. In 2007, started building a home that's somewhere, depending on the square footage that you want to work with, 3 to 5 times larger. Not times, square feet larger. 3 to 5,000 square feet larger than the White House. His house is between 43 and 47,000 square feet. It was his dream home. He had busted his butt in direct selling for over 30 years. He had finally paid off, sold his companies for millions of dollars, decided to invest it in the dream home that he always wanted. A year ago, hadn't even moved in really, a year ago, put it up for sale, $48 million. Hasn't been able to sell it, now it's dropped to $26 million. Living above his means. His company, his latest company, just went out from under him. The economy changed. Everything went upside down. I sat there and I looked at that and I thought, you know, here he taught all our life to live below our means. And this isn't Art Williams. This is one of his proteges, Hubert Humphrey. And all of a sudden, here he is with issues. See, this isn't about sales. It's not about some new skill, some new technique that you're learning. This is about connecting with people so that you can help people fulfill what they're trying to fulfill. There's a lot of times I make no money. You know, one of the things that we have said is we never want to have to charge distributors for information. And to date, we have done a fairly good job at that. We have some affiliate accounts on our blogs that help pay for the hosting cost. But we've been able to maintain a lifestyle of living at the beach on an island, living below our means, but enjoying the lifestyle that we have. And we've continued to help distributors, and it's fun to be able to hear stories. We have our share of critics, and that's fine. At the end of the day, I can look my kids in the face and know that I did what was right. I can lay my head down on a pillow, pray to my God, and know that He listens. See, you have to be able to do that. Your team has to know that you care more about them than you do about yourself. Your wife, your kids have to know this. The people that you work with won't change if you don't believe in them. The communication and enthusiasm and connection and leadership starts with the gift you give, not with the manipulation that you attempt. I'm going to read that again as we close out the hour. The people that you work with, let's change that. The people that you interact with won't change if you don't believe. The communication of enthusiasm and connection and leadership starts with the gift you give, not the manipulation that you attempt. You have to believe in the other people more than they believe in themselves, at least in the early stages. And sooner or later, it'll pay off. Every now and then, there is somebody that truly is more mixed up than we are. There are some people that they just don't want it for themselves as bad as you want it for themselves, and they will be dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies all their life. There's nothing you can do about that. You just got to deal with it. But at the end of the day, if you care about people more than you care about yourself, if you look at what you can do for those people and how you can help them achieve the success that they are looking for, whatever level it is, I can guarantee you this is a universal law. You help enough people, and you will find out that you will have more blessings in your life than you can shake a stick at. They won't all be monetary blessings, but I guarantee you will start living the life that you dreamed of living. But it starts with helping other people. That's the key right here. Folks, I love it when y'all hang out with us. Tomorrow, we're in the chapter of Seth Brooks, The 7 Abilities of a Linchpin. It's going to be a rock-solid day. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.